The other problem that you have is one of the crucial thing in writing in the letter is you have to translate. You don't have to translate from Italian to English, but what you have to translate is the needs and aspirations of the client into this bureaucratic maze. Okay? So you have to convince the reader that what your client wants fits within his parameters. And crucial ways of handling this is to get the financial aid worker or the supervisor making the decision to make the decision in your favor. And what they want is they want verification of your situation. And the prime example of it is if there's a medical problem, they want medical verification because they got a letter from a doctor saying it's so. And so if there's any fallout later on about the issue, they got the letter. But it's not limited to that situation. It's limited verification of employment, opportunity, seeking employment. They want stuff in writing so it's in the file so they have backup to their position. So the other thing that you have to consider when you're writing the letter is what is the purpose of writing the letter? And sometimes when people write letters, they get carried away with writing the letters. Law students are notorious from this. You know, what is the purpose of writing the letter? And okay, no problem. Do we continue? Or?
You're angelic enough as it is.
Okay. So you have to realize what is the purpose. Is your purpose to get a certain amount of money from the welfare, to get them reinstated for welfare? And you only write the letter for that purpose. Okay? It's not to go into a harangue about how bad the welfare department is. Think about the purpose. Okay. And then at the end of their letter, state what you want. Some people, you know, all my clients in this banner. Yeah, but what do you want? At the end of the letter, what do you want? You know, I want this amount of money. It's kind of simple, but now, I wanted to talk a little bit about different types of letters, and I referred to those on page 3. What we've been talking about is the persuasion letter. You're trying to persuade the welfare department or some other department to do what you want. But there's another type of letter that you will come in contact with, and that is... this happens sometimes. I do charitable, not as much as I used to, charitable applications for charitable tax number, and the charitable tax division of the federal federal tax department would write back and ask for information. And one of the techniques I developed is the government writes your client a letter and asks for information. And they would ask questions like, please explain such and such activities. And what I do is I repeat the question and I make it a heading and I answer the question. And that is a very good technique of answering inquiries from government agencies. They are asking your client or you a question about your client. then repeat the question, put it as a bold heading in the middle. I usually put them on the left-hand side of the page. And answer it directly. And this brings me into the format of your letter, which is, I like putting headings in letters. It breaks the letter up. Headings and letters help you organize what you're saying. And more importantly, it enables the reader, when they read the letter, to skip over the parts they don't consider important. So if you use this technique and somebody gets the letter from the government agency, you say, well, wow, the person actually answered my questions. But if you put it all in one paragraph or two or three paragraphs and hide the question and hide the answer, then it's more difficult for them to read. And they're more likely to put it in this pile instead of reading it right away. So always think about the reader. Always think about the purpose of writing the letter. It is always good to make a humanitarian or compassionate argument with the welfare department, but that's not the focal purpose of writing the letter. You have to cite the legislation and the policy manual to the ministry. It's not the other way around. I hate to say that, but that's the way the welfare department and all government agencies operate. Okay. Now, we have some sample problems that I would like to go to, and the sample problems are at the very last of the material that I've given you, and we will go through these exercises, hopefully, to give you some idea about how to approach problems of legislation. And it's the Child Allowance Act. So it's all at the back of my material. And it looks like this. And hopefully, when this goes on stream video and becomes a bestseller, they will put this particular Child Allowance Act on it. So it's right out of the before. What page? I'm a little colorblind. What color is this? The beige divider. Just before the beige divider. Okay, Child Allowance Act. No, one page, it's one page. We got it all? Okay. Now, this is a little example of what you would do if you were all admitted to law school, which some of you may be someday or not, and that is what students are given on their exams is a hypothetical thing, a hypothetical question. And this is a make-believe statute. And it's on page one, and the problems are on page two. So what I would like you to do is to take a minute or two and read page one. And I'll go through it with you. Okay. Whereas Parliament deems it in the public interest that every resident Canadian family receive the sum of $500 per year per child following is enacted, any parent on behalf of his or her families may apply to the Minister of Finance or his or her designate of the following allowance payable under the legislation. The Minister of Finance or his or her deputy shall pay an allowance of $500 per year to a parent if the child resides with that parent and no other parent of that child has applied for or is receiving that allowance for that child. No family shall receive more than $5,000 per year under this Act. Any person who's dissatisfied with a decision made under this legislation may appeal the matter within 30 days to the Federal Court of Appeal. Application of other laws. Pursuant to the Section 33 of the Constitution Act 1982, it is declared that Sections 2 and 7 to 15, inclusive of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, do not apply to this act, and the Canadian Human Rights Act does not apply for this act. Section 7 is a general power to make regulations. So that's, it's a very simple act. This is the act that you're dealing with as an advocate. And here's your first problem. A divorced father retains you, comes in to see you. There is one child, and there is joint custody order. The child spends half the time living with the mother and half the time living with the father. The mother has been receiving the $500 on the legislation for 1 year. The father has applied for the allowance on behalf of the same child but has been denied because his ex-wife is receiving the benefit. What can be done? Okay.
They have it clear that, you know, that it is split, and there's a document, and then maybe they could pass it or to each of them or to the doctor.
Okay. There's a suggestion here that you write to the bureaucracy, wherever it is, and ask them to split it. Any comments about that? Huh? Why? Just a sec. We're not talking about the child tax benefit. We're talking about this legislation. Okay. Any other comments?
I think we need to find out more information about the child. Where does the child reside?
Well, we got it here, half and half. Huh? What's this? Contact the mother and ask her to give it up half, right? Advocates also have to be realistic, okay? It's a good idea, but I suspect he's already contacted the mother, otherwise he wouldn't be coming in to see you. But that's a possibility, okay.
Federal Court of Appeal.
Why? Okay, let me stop you right there. These answers, a lot of these answers are equitable answers. It is what is fair. What I'm asking you is to look at the legislation and see what it says.